The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by
Larry Mercer. Come on down.
And what are you doing in the Bronx?
Part-time retail and Moonlight as a professional wrestling ring announcer.
So that's like, say, George and I were wrestling. Give us a little play-by-play.
Fighting out of the blue corner, weighing in at 123 pounds, ladies and gentlemen, the announcer of The Price is Right, George!
Hey!
Great. Great.
I am totally famous.
I've never heard you get this the rest of my life.
And to that, Larry Legend walked home with quite a bit in prizes and cash and fame and fortune. And why isn't he on my show? This is the new and improved North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, sponsored by WrestleChat.net, which is pretty much back up and running now. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I brought in a handful of the usual suspects, starting with a slightly sleepy Tom Delgado.
I feel like a Snorlax tonight. Good evening, Nikki.
Good evening, Tom. And another man recovering from Black Friday and Gray Saturday and Cyber Sunday and Cyber Monday, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Ugh. That was insane!
But you lived.
Yes, although with not all my bowels in perfect shape during that period.
Yeah.
It was definitely a gray Saturday. And a black one. And a kind of reddish one, too.
Do not make me break out the brain bleach.
Is that cold?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Muckamuck. And our third tonight will be our man in charge, Mr. Carl Schneer.
Football can be a joy and it could be a pain in your ass.
Please do not remind me of Thanksgiving weekend.
Remind me of last night. Yes, thank you.
Screw you, NIU.
Don't remind any of us of last night.
Here. I'll just settle this all for everybody. Just stand back, and all the frustrations will be knocked out in 7 seconds flat. Now then.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, since we've been gone for a couple of weeks, surprisingly though, it's been fairly slow news-wise. So I'm going to back up a bit and go straight to Survivor Series, which actually I had thoroughly enjoyed, not only because there were good matches, but the commentary was spot on. They were having way too much fun at the table that Sunday night. Did anybody here see the pay-per-view?
Unfortunately, no.
No.
Once again, that work thing kind of said, nope, not doing it. Nope.
I had been on the road all day. I was recovering.
So, well, let me throw a few of these gems at you through the course of the show. Little things like no dancing and no heart attacks, please, Mr. Lawler from JBL.
Wow.
Every Survivor Series team needs a general, and in Primo's case, he's scandal-free.
Ha, 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 ha,
where's some of these other ones? I put down a bunch of these. I wish Jim was here. I have one just for him. JBL, they dug on JBL for the cabinet. And he says, we were the antithesis of the Four Horsemen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
To which Michael Cole followed up with, honey.
Troll face.
He actually said four ponies. And I'm proud of him. So yes, that tickled me. Let's see. He didn't say flying goat. He said flying goat on SmackDown, but he didn't say it at the pay-per-view. So, but as I said, it was a very good pay-per-view. We had a bonus. We ended up with a bonus Survivor Series match to open the show. Ooh. With Brodus Clay, Tyson Kidd, Justin Gabriel, Sin Cara, and Mysterio versus Tensai, the Primetime Players, and Primo and Epico. And I think the only commentary goof was that Lawler at one point called Primo Carlito.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
That's not cool.
Well, go figure. They're all kind of one the same.
So, with that in mind, Stat Boy, you have the numbers.
Yes. And at the bottom of the pile is Jim, Forth, and Jason, who all scored 4 points correctly. None of the three got their wild cards right.
Mm-hmm.
Then, in the next up, we got a whole cluster schmaz, as it would be myself, our High Chief Muckamuck, Carl Schneer, Typho, Brian Ford and Chair Henniger, and Tyler Brown, all scoring 5 points. Now, what's interesting is that Typho, was one of three that got their wild card correct.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who chose AJ and Vicky, turned this into a yawn fest, and boy, howdy, they did.
Well, they had to have their 20 minutes of fame. I mean,
yeah. More like 20 minutes of sleep time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. 20 minutes of Ethan.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
And that's Ethan's only contribution to this pay-per-view, because he didn't pick.
Admitted.
Right. And now for the top three. Two of you got your wild cards correct. One of you didn't. Unfortunately, Nikki, that one's you. You finished in third place with 6 points.
But even though I got it wrong, and we'll get to this in a moment, I'm glad I'm wrong, because what they did was a whole lot cooler. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. Now, to second place. We're down to two people. Two people who were on the last show. Tom Delgado and one of our guests, Super Oprah. Now, both of them got their wild card correct. The exact same one, fully giving the mandible claw. In this case, to Ricardo Rodriguez.
Which still counts, because he did it.
Yep. Now, the difference between the two is a half a point.
Ooh.
Yes. One got 7 points, the other 6.5.
I recall somebody calling Flush.
Yes, not once, not twice, but three times. Tom, that was you, and because you flushed, you finished in second place. 6.5 points. So that means your winner and new NAWC Fizzleweight Champion of the World, Super Oprah!
as the personal representative of Super Oprah, who could not make the broadcast, I will take possession of the Fizzleweight champion until such time as she can defend it.
All right, so you hold physical representation of the belt. She holds everything else.
Including the purse string sometimes. Anyway.
Hey, now.
So, since all the results are out there, but the big news came at the end of the night, and Super Oprah actually called me after the pay-per-view was over and was so disappointed when I told her what happened. And let me get to it in my notes. Okay. During the triple threat, Ryback, as fully expected, is doing his thing, dominating, hurting Cena, hurting Punk. Meat hooks aplenty. He gets the meat hook on Punk. He shell shocks Punk. Cena breaks up the pin. Ryback shell shocks Cena. Next thing you know, three guys in all black jump in the ring. So I'm thinking, you know, black shirts, okay. Why is security jumping in the ring? The only clue that these guys were workers at first to me was Seth Rollins' two-tone hair.
Mm-hmm.
Then Cole, of all people, calls them all out by name. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Dean effing Ambrose!
Yes.
So, needless to say, I'm flipping out.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
And I don't care if anybody thinks, you know, is going to call me a mark for it. My Facebook blew up. My phone blew up. My IMs blew up. The moment that John Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose's ugly mug, was on TV, debuting at a pay-per-view. I would love to have seen the size of the party in Cincinnati when any workers that I know were watching the show and saw him. I am so stoked about this. And Statboy, I know you've seen all the jokes,
mm-hmm,
on the fan boards. You know, when is he debuting? Yeah, when is he debuting? Take that, guys.
Yes, because the original plans were for him to debut at Survivor Series pay-per-view wise, but under a different guise. He was originally supposed to be part of Punk Survivor Series team, but those plans got scrapped when they realized, oh wait, we're supposed to have a WWE Championship match.
And this has actually become a lot more intriguing. These three individuals have introduced themselves as the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And they claim that their work is to correct injustices.
Yes. And now, that they're also not directly working with Punk. Wink, wink.
No.
Bullshit!
It's not him. They're working with your dear old uncle.
Well, that was the question I was actually asked Sunday night. So who is, I was asked, and these NXT people are... My direct response, yes. Paul Heyman guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because Michael Cole's question is very specific, Tom. He asked if they were working for CM Punk. Dean Ambrose goes, nope. And keeps looking at Cole like, you believe me, right?
I smell something fishy there.
So, you know, we've got Ring of Honor fans bouncing that we have that Tyler Black, a.k.a. Seth Rollins, is on TV. workers in Ohio and Indiana and CZW and a few other places going, yes, 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 and yes, I know Jon Moxley. He's on my TV.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns was the big question mark, and I did a little bit of homework on him, and he is Samoan.
Mm-hmm.
He is of the revered Inouye family.
Uh-huh.
And 3 minute warnings, Rosie's little brother.
Oh yes. Which means more connections to Cincinnati.
Yep. And that makes me very, very proud. Now, Tom, what do you think of the Shield so far?
I like the prospect of them. I mean, it's three good, supposedly pretty good workers. I haven't seen enough of Ambrose and the other two guys, but from their work on NXT, they've done pretty good there, and I'm interested to see where this goes. I'm always interested in seeing new stars being made, and this has the chance to make a couple of new stars.
Now, let's see. Muckabuck, are you here? Not at the moment. Okay. Statboy, since you may have you been able to catch any of Ambrose's pre-WWE or pre-NXT work?
You mean HWA?
I might.
Yes, I actually did, mainly because back when I used to be in high school, I did watch HWA right around the time of Cannonball Callahan and all of them.
There you go.
So, yeah, Moxley was there at that point, was he not?
Yes, he was. He was in and out of HWA. He worked for Insanity Pro Wrestling. I had the honor of seeing him and New Horror Sammy Callahan post Cannonball. Though mm-hmm. I did get to see Cannonball Callahan in 07. The two of them putting on a bloody, crazy street fight. Where they broke the Muda meter. It was and scared a lot of little kids. It was so much fun. So, you know, I'm very excited because Moxley has had tryouts with the Fed a couple of times in the last 6 or 7 years, and he's finally broken through. Rollins has been in developmental for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman Reigns has been in developmental under, I believe, wasn't he Lee Key?
Yes, he was Leia Kay.
Okay. So, you know, and he, you know, he's got the bloodline. So we've got, you know, we've got quite the power trio here. I'm hoping, because somebody's already suggested this, and we kind of saw this past Monday, that they're not just going to be fodder for Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So, let's see. Where can I go? Let's see. Put your booking hat on, Statboy. What do you think we can do with the Shield?
Well, of course, they're going to protect Punk probably until the Rumble, which they might just pull out the card that says, "We're Paul Heyman, guys," and help out with Lesnar for Mania in some way, shape, or form, to which Triple H will just go, "Lol, burial time."
Now. Tom, do you agree with Statboy's assessment?
I think so. I mean, they're going to bring Lesnar back. It's just a matter of when, and I could see it happening at the Royal Rumble. So I think this is going to lead to Lesnar returning, and the whole thing's going to continue. The Shield is going to be put to pretty good use by our dear Uncle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And while I worry that Statboy will be right, although I'm getting flashbacks to Triple H chasing Legacy all over the arena with a sledgehammer. So if we get another one of those, I might be for it. Especially if we get Yakety Sax in the background. Oh yeah, I would. Somebody did that to the Triple H Legacy thing. It's out there someplace.
Nice.
So, with Survivor Series in the bag, and a pretty safe bet that Punk is not dropping that title until the Rumble. As of our airing, CM Punk will have been champion for 378 days. Despite this, Tom, is Punk the man?
I think he is the man. I think to hold the belt so long, the company's got to have some sort of faith in you. I think as far as heels go, he is the man. I'd probably put him like 1B, because John Cena's still selling all the stuff for the kiddies, so it's very hard for CM Punk to overtake John Cena as far as WWE's main demographic of the kiddies go.
Statboy, same question.
I really don't know. I think Tom got what I was going to say.
And that should be a little, you know, that should be a little concerning, because Punk is the champ. He has the belt.
However, he's still being overshadowed by Lol Cena.
And that's frustrating, because, you know, when Punk first started this very ill-advised heel turn, although it's kind of worked out to this point just because of Ryback, Punk was 100% correct. He is the champion. He should be the focus. Yet John Cena, with his stupid TMZ crap that's going on right now, is still overshadowing him. And once we get into WrestleMania season, then he's going to be like fourth or fifth behind Lesnar, behind Cena, behind The Rock, behind the Evil Doc. You know, can I make the pile any higher for Punk to really get pissed off?
Probably can.
I don't want to try, because frankly, I don't want to go to sleep right yet.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that Punk and Cena do have in common, though, is they're both a little beat up right now. Punk tweaked a knee and was talking about it on Twitter, or he was trolling us. I'm not sure which.
Yes.
He was trolling us?
No, the answer is yes. It's probably a little bit of truth, but I bet it's a lot of trolling. He always does that.
And Cena, you know, everybody's got this big question mark on whether, you know, he actually did damage his knee in a spot where he jumped out of the ring to run up the ramp to go chasing after Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
The partially torn meniscus, although that might cover... You know, that might be a mild cover-up if his ankle is still bothering him, if his hip is bothering him, if his neck is bothering him. This is why why Cena hadn't wrestled for the last few, you know, for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Between that and, you know, the elbow surgery, obviously. But Cena's pretty banged up, and they're going to need, WWE's going to need him. Oh my God, they're going to need him for WrestleMania season, because it's not WrestleMania season without their A number one guy. And CM Punk's going, hello, WWE champion over here.
Yeah. I mean, he's not getting the respect he deserves, in my opinion.
No, he's not. He's not. I mean, he got it for a little while, and the IWC will keep saying, well, you know, he shouldn't have lost to Triple H, and he should have fought Kevin Nash, and yada, 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 shut up.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just, you know. Last summer was Kevin Nash's fault, not Punk's, not Hunter's.
Absolutely.
So, let's see. What else have I got in my handy-dandy list of things to go? Talked about the Pick'ems, talked about Punk, talked about Cena. Do I have to talk about Cena dating Abella?
Well, Consider this, folks. John Cena and Daniel Bryan might just be wiener-in-laws at the end of the day if this all goes to fruition.
That is the strangest euphemism I have ever heard.
Yes.
Although I did enjoy the comic you sent me from wrestling memes. I'm dating Abella. No, I'm dating Abella. I'm dating Abella. No, I'm dating Abella.
We're dating Abella.
All that's missing is Kane coming in and walking off with both of them.
You give it. That's an awesome idea, actually.
But I don't think WWE is ready to rehire them, and I don't think they're ready to come back. Because now that I think about it, there was nothing Diva-related on SmackDown. They don't do Diva matches on Saturday Morning Slam. Main event the last couple of weeks, of course, did not have any Diva action. Although I got, you know, the Cena-Damian Sandow match from this past Wednesday wasn't bad. My problem is Sandow is supposed to be an intelligent wrestler, but I've never seen so much heel stalling and showing off. The way he was doing it was more Ziggler-esque and not quite to his character. Maybe I'm being a little snarky here, Tom. Did you see the match?
I wish I could say that I did, because I mean, was not actually expecting John Cena to make appearances on Main Event. I didn't think they were going to use the show that way, to be honest.
Okay, and Statboy, I will guess you were working.
Actually, I was not, but unfortunately, Dayton does not have Ion Television. Because the station that's supposed to much rather would show crappy television movies. Yeah, I've already contacted all the sources that I needed to for that. I'm not terribly happy.
Boo!
Yeah. Dayton's Urban Vision, Dayton's Urban Vision, you're the black station. I'm sorry.
So... okay, but I'll just go into some minor details with it. They did give him a lot of time. This was actually like a 20-minute match.
Nice.
Trick was, though, you know, I'm used to Sandow's heel stall where he, you know, he rolls out of the ring for a minute and, you know, to gather himself. He uses the ropes to get, you know, get seen him off him in a couple of occasions. But there were three or four instances where he had Cena down and he did his patented cartwheel instead of going at least attempting a pin.
Show off.
See, Ziggler. So, and, you know, they kind of dogged on him. They actually had JBL on commentary since Miz was overseas. Ooh, that's what I can talk about. For anybody who missed having Miz or R-Truth or Eve or I'm trying to remember who else went. Vince himself went. But they got a group of WWE guys together and they were flown out to entertain some of the troops. I don't have the complete list in front of me. Shame on me.
No, Layla was part of it.
That's true. Layla went too. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Alicia Fox was the other diva.
No wonder we didn't have any diva action. We were out of divas. While Caitlin's sitting backstage going, anyone? Can I wrestle Naomi? Anyway.
I take that back. Actually, it was Eve Torres. I'm sorry.
No, I think they both went. Because I remember there's a picture on the board, Statboy, and in the pics and gifts thread of a bunch of the guys in the cargo in either in the plane or in some sort of like theater on the ship they went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Layla was in there. I think Eve went. I know R-Truth was there, and I know Vince himself went. And I think if JBL thought he could get away with it, he would have gone too.
Yeah, because JBL is there.
And this is the whole tribute to the troops thing was JBL's deal, and that's coming up in a few weeks. And they've been bragging about that a lot on commentary. But yeah, Cena's banged up. Punk's banged up a little bit. So if anything, in Punk's case, the Shield will keep him reasonably healthy.
More or less.
I would say so.
And unfortunately, to keep Cena healthy, we get more TMZ bullshit. Oh.
Whoa. Wow.
Well, some things don't change.
Yeah, including... Well, actually, some things did change.
We'll let him back on
all
here.
All of a sudden, he's starting to give me new technology instead of old, because now I've got a Google Nexus 7.
Sweet.
To read it, and I'm keeping this one.
Can I have the Surface, then?
Yeah, go ahead. Have that crappy Windows 8 UI near Metro.
Oh... Can't be that bad. Can't be that bad. Let's see what the GM's up to. Oh, you bastard.
What did he do this time?
He opens with, here's your red flag back. You leave the lions out of this, GM. Ugh. Wrong show. Goodness. Okay. What do you got? Okay. The GM says, and I quote, with the 2 weeks off, be thankful that you didn't have, you know, you didn't have to have news leftovers. Nice. I have been in talks with Brett Klein-Daniel and have told him that that the website has been sorely neglected and we are lacking news. Not completely GM. But WrestleChat has started to trickle news back in, and I'm sorry that one of the first stories was the Bella twins and Cena and Daniel Bryan. Let's see. I'm sure you can find something better to talk about, but do talk about WrestleChat.net. No, I won't talk about them because they are our sponsors. And speaking of sponsors, you guys need a break?
Yeah, and I need to go and wash my hands. So let's go sell some more soap.
Now we're talking. Let's sell some soap. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Roll the tape on this.
Brian Henniger. Brett Favre is your father.
Oh, Melba?
Oh, what the?
Where did that come from?
Whoa.
You know, if they dive into a pit of frog fallopian tubes, that would be interesting.
When
Tacoma Tacoma Crapping Dragon. So yeah, that may be a good way of looking at it.
Ooh, oopsie. I pity those who have just tuned in to this monstrosity. I really do.
Why aren't you a pony?
When I was told I had to engineer this show, I did not expect ponies to be involved.
Who told you that?
We're dealing with Nikki Hanger. There's gotta be ponies involved.
Moving on!
The CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Williamswear is now a part of the CLW83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
Hi, I'm Chris Clark, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Yeah, like that joke hasn't been done 50 million times already.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Tom Delgado, Stepway Josh Henniger, and our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier. Now, one of our favorite topics over the past year has been Scott Steiner. And we were brilliantly entertained by Scott Steiner won't shut the tweet up. Sadly, you know, this has turned into a nasty little imbroglio with lots of little lawsuits being thrown back and forth. Well, there's been a postponing of the Scott Steiner and TNA court hearings. So let me read you directly from our sponsor, WrestleChat.net, who got this information from PW Insider. It appears the court hearing scheduled for this morning, as in today, November 30th, between Scott Steiner and TNA was called off after Steiner's attorneys filed evidence on the 26th that shot down TNA's legal argument in attempting to get the Steiner lawsuit dismissed, as in they were trying to get Steiner to leave him alone about Jeff Hardy. TNA had argued that Steiner's breach of contract suit should be dismissed. Oh, sorry, wrong lawsuit. The first lawsuit he filed regarding royalty monies, noting that per the letter of their contract, Steiner needed to inform them of any potential breaches and give the company 30 days to attempt to repair the breach before attempting legal action. So since they had never been given the chance to repair the breach, Steiner could not try and take them to court.
Interesting.
Oh, dick move! Anyway. On November the 26th, Steiner's attorneys filed a notice with the court noting that the contractual terms ran from January 2011 through April 2011, so the contract would not, quote, not apply to the issues being brought forth by Steiner. With the hearing being canceled at the last minute, it would appear that the material was a factor. Meaning, we ain't done yet. So, the big laugh that I've gotten is that a lot of people want to see Steiner actually win one, if not both, of the lawsuits he's filing against TNA. And pretty much, you know, if he sues the pants off of them, God help us if he started running the company, stat boy.
That would be hilarious.
Go ahead, Statboy. I'm sorry.
I've got nothing else.
Okay, Tom, would you pay pay-per-view money to watch the court hearings?
Sure, why not? Maybe we'll see Steiner snap and put one of the judges into the Steiner recliner. I'd pay to see that.
I'd actually pay to see that myself. If Steiner represents himself, they would make so much money putting that on pay-per-view. Carl, what do you like? Do you like Steiner's chances?
It's all entertaining. It's all entertaining, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I'm wishing Steiner luck on this because getting money out of TNA is like getting blood out of a stone. Ask any knockout. And the fact that this sounds really shady. And you know, if they're going to enforce a rule where a contract, you know, this for a contract, well, the contract wasn't enforced when this happened, blah blah blah, yakety schmackety. It's going to be a very amusing. This is going to be extremely amusing. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to hear anything about this till after the first of the year. But to that. Since this is, well, it's royalty money, stat boy, I reiterate, blood from a stone. Do you think he can get any money out of TNA?
To be honest, I bet he won't, even if he wins, because, yeah, as you keep on stating, this is like trying to get blood from a stone. It's not going to happen. I hope it does, though, just to laugh at TNA, because Schadenfreude is awesome.
and Tom, to that, if Steiner wins and actually, you know, pulls money out of them somehow, I wonder if the Carters Senior, who run Panda Energy, would actually, you know, turn the lights out on TNA.
I don't know. If Steiner wins this lawsuit, I can tell you that we'll never hear the end of it. And that might be a good thing.
I think there'd be a hell of a party in Orlando. I'd actually like to be there for that.
To yell clusterfuck.
Oh, absolutely. We would march through Universal Studios just chanting it. Clusterfuck! Clusterfuck! Clusterfuck!
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. I am so there.
Make it happen.
Well, hopefully Steiner will make this happen. We'll keep an eye on this story as WrestleChat.net will keep us thoroughly informed. Let's see. What else have I got over here real quick? One other quickie from WrestleChat. You notice that Tensai's been soloing lately. They have decided to take Sakamoto and send him south. I mean, send him back to NXT.
Hmm.
Let's see. He's been, they've, the two of them have been, you know, broken up. There's been no real explanation, but it was kind of quietly phased out. Again, I wish Jim was here because I would ask him, with Tensai's abuse of Sakamoto, is this offensive? What, a big white guy beating up a Japanese guy? No, that's not racist.
No.
No.
He's a melting pot of French. Oh, sorry. He's a nice guy.
And the tattoos on his face, according to JBL, are actually copied from a menu from a Japanese pizza joint.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I love the wrestling business. I really do.
Smart move to get him back full time, I'll tell you, though. All seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, get that out of the way. We are a couple of weeks out from Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, and we have the two title matches are set. Punk and Ryback will be in a full-blown TLC, which kind of surprises me, Carl, because I figured just with the Shield's antics, we would have just had a straight-up tables match.
Yeah, they'll get involved somehow.
Statboy, same thought, you know. You think Punk and Ryback can put together a full-blown TLC? I always have a problem with two-man TLCs as it is.
You know, I don't know, because Punk, there's no question, he can do it. Mm-hmm. Ryback, though, he's still kind of that untested commodity. Yes, he's been in various matches, but the thing is, he's never been in a gimmick match. Not this full-blown, anyway.
No, his gimmick matches have been handicap matches, which are, you know, which really doesn't prepare you for a full-blown TLC, Tom.
No, it doesn't.
And given Ryback's size, there's actually some really good potential for a lot of power spots, stuff that you would normally see out of Kane, Big Show, or Mark Henry, who have all been in Money in the Bank matches. Kane's been in a TLC, so we know that a power guy can do TLC. Granted, yes, Kane was in there with 7 or 8 other guys, because it was like 4 tag teams, and he was out there soloing. So, to Daniel Bryan, Kane can say he was the tag team champions, and now he is the tag team champions. Oh, I don't want to start that argument again, should I?
No.
Okay.
Because they are the tag team champions.
Yes, and they're actually kind of starting to get back on the same page. I will give props. I'll give credit where credit is due. They had a wonderful promo on SmackDown where they, while Kane and Bryan were staring daggers into each other and Kofi is just worried that a fight is going to break out right in front of him, the two described each other in almost visceral detail. With Bryan talking about how Kane destroys opponents with sheer force and fire, and Kane talking about how Bryan ties other people in knots. I was amused. Kofi was still scared. Our other match was a no-brainer, and that was Sheamus and Big Show having another go at it in a straight-up chairs match. The fact that they actually counted how many times Sheamus hit Big Show with a chair. Somewhere Brian Henniger was dancing. With those two in a straight up chairs match, well, actually, power versus power in a chairs match. I'm hoping for the chair sword fight spot where they're swinging, you know, where they, you know, connect with, you know, connect chair to chair. Statboy, can they make this entertaining for 10 to 15 minutes?
For Sheamus Big Show, I think they could easily pull this off because, well, yeah, they're going to wind up clowning each other silly for those 10, 15 minutes. Don't be surprised if you see a few fines coming in at the end, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. And Tom, do you think that show will try to recreate ripping a chair into pieces spot that he kind of failed on?
I mean, I see no reason for him not to try again. If he can get it to work this time, that's fine. Quite frankly, I want to see what that spot would have looked like if he was able to make it work. So I don't mind if he tries it again.
Well, his attempt was kind of comical, and it just kind of falls under the fact that sometimes when the equipment doesn't like to agree with wrestlers when they try to do stuff. It made me think of the spot. This was a while back when Big Show was dealing with Angle and Company, and Luther Reigns came out in this Jeep in these really big mudding tires, and Show tried to roll this thing. And that took a couple of minutes. Or Mark Henry trying to rip the door off the cage. Which he should thank the Lord he was doing this on SmackDown. So they took out the 5 minutes that it took him to finally get it to work. I'll leave Jack Swagger alone. He's off TV right now. So we've got this coming up in a couple of weeks, and so that means we need a ladder match. We need a tables match, since they like doing goofy stuff like that. Okay, Tom, throw your road cone on.
It's on, but I think I need to clean it.
Okay. There should be Windex behind your cardboard box. If you need a minute, I'll go to Statboy on this.
Yes, please. Give me a minute and I'll come back.
All right. Okay, Statboy, put your booking tinfoil hat on. And we've got potential matches coming up, like Ziggler, Cena. Team Hell No is probably going to have to defend their tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets the ladder match and who gets the tables match? And is there another match that you would assign these to?
Well, the ladder match, I think, is going to be for Ziggler Cena. And that's most likely going to be for the Money in the Bank contract. Spoiler alert, Ziggler's winning.
Ooh, they dropped hints about that on SmackDown. You're right.
Yes, and as for the tables match, well, you know where that's going. To sleep.
You lost me, Statboy.
Yeah, sorry. I always have found tables matches ever since, I'd say 2000, 2003, to be kind of dull. Except for the Sheamus Cena match. It's like,
wait, what? Yeah, that caught everybody off guard. And that, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Tom, are you back?
I am. I have the Windex, and unfortunately, the Windex, it does nothing. I might have to scrub harder, but anyway.
Okay.
I kind of see it the way Statboy sees it, I'm afraid. I can't predict, anything unexpected.
No, that's fine. The Ziggler Cena thing as a ladder match for the briefcase, because they kind of hinted towards that on SmackDown tonight. The tables match, personally, I would like to see the tag titles defended in a full blown tables match. Team Hell No, the primetime players, maybe 3MB jumps in on this. After all, Slater can do spectacular table spots. Plus, it seems a lot of people would like to see Heath Slater go through tables over and over and over and over again. Team Hell No, 3MB, primetime players, Los Luchadores. Maybe I shouldn't do that. I don't want to hurt Sin Cara again. Primo and Epico would probably do it. See, this is why I was, you know, I would have made Punk Ryback just a plain old tables match, and then have the tag teams do a authentic, old school WrestleMania, you know, WrestleMania 17, SummerSlam 2000 style TLC match. Muckamuck, you still up there?
Nope.
And nope. Okay. No, that's fine. We've still got a couple weeks to put the pay-per-view together. And, you know, as the card stands so far, Statboy, would you buy if you are available that Sunday?
Well, I might buy. So far, I would think that this card might just be worth it for the first time in ever.
Tom, put your road cone down. Would you buy this pay-per-view? I realize there's only two matches booked, but
I'd need some more matches. Let me see what else is on the card, and then we'll talk about me buying it.
Gotcha. And let's see. Oh, no wonder. Okay. Muckamuck is out and about. I'm going to get it mainly because I'm a sucker for pay-per-view. Anyway, no. I'm getting it because I'm curious to see how Ryback is going to handle a full-blown TLC because, as we said, he's not done a gimmick match outside of a handicap match, and I have a feeling this TLC is going to turn into a great big handicap match. Though I could be silly and say, okay, if we got it even, you know, if it turned into, we could turn it into a six-man where Ryback gets some allies. And it's revealed that the Shield are Paul Heyman guys, so it's Punk and the Shield versus Ryback and whoever he can get his hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever's team pulls down the belt would go to either Punk or Ryback.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't think you can do that though. I don't know. I like that idea, but I don't know if they'll do it. Besides, I don't think there would be anything left of the internet if Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins pulled down the WWE title. Look up last year's emergency broadcast after TLC 2011, Tom. You'll understand.
Oh, boy.
Where the internet had an utter meltdown with Punk as WWE champion, Bryan is the world heavyweight champion, Kofi and Evan Bourne as tag team champions, Beth Phoenix was the Divas champion, Zack Ryder was the U.S. champion, and the Intercontinental Champion was Cody Rhodes?
I think so.
I think, yeah.
But just the fact that it was, you know, it was Internet Darlings Night for that show, where at the end of the show, you know, Cole was eating so much crow that he'd sneeze feathers. So... But yeah, I think, you know, the card is shaping up nicely. Granted, yes, there's only two matches on the card, but we've got a pretty good guess on a third, and I've got my fingers crossed on a fourth. So, despite being off for 2 weeks, I really didn't have a whole lot to report.
Yeah,
it was surprising because we had the time off, and normally, really, a lot of stuff happens in those times off.
Yeah.
But then again, look what... Oh, there is one more thing we have missed.
I'm sorry, Stepboy, what do you got?
Yes, and this involves, unfortunately, what's probably going to be a release.
Uh-oh.
Talk to me.
Yes, you guys might remember the Ascension from NXT.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Yes.
Yes. Ken Cameron... And yeah. Rap Boy.
Rat Boy.
Rat
yes.
Boy.
Connor O'Brien, the walking, talking rat. I'm sorry. He does.
Mm-hmm.
He does look like a rat. I would have to draw him. I would have to draw him as such. Go on, Stat Boy.
Well, unfortunately, if I'm not mistaken, Ken Cameron, real name Thomas Latimer, was arrested Thanksgiving night in St. Petersburg, Florida, on charges of battery on a law enforcement officer and disorderly intoxication. Yeah, he was released on $5,100 bail. And something tells me he is done. He's going to get canned. A shame for Connor, because this was looking really cool.
I'd heard a lot of positive things about Ascension, and Connor deserved it because, I mean, he was so frustrated with the Rat Boy stuff that happened to him when he was originally put on an NXT.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I have a feeling he's going to end up falling back into that gimmick because he can't carry the Ascension gimmick alone, can he?
No, he can't, though there are a few guys who kind of look like they could be part of Ascension in NXT right now.
Okay.
Like a certain guy by the name of Enzo Amore.
Okay.
I'm not sure who the heck he is, unfortunately.
It's not Pac, is it?
No, Pac is somebody else entirely.
Okay. I was just curious.
Nor is it Tak, who's probably going to wind up on the... Nor is it Talk TAC, who's probably going to wind up on the cutting room floor before
too
much longer for being a loudmouth.
Lovely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's a shame. I hate seeing that happen. I mean, for what it's worth, you know, The one problem with having NXT down in Florida is apparently there is a party going on because we've heard too many DUIs come up from there.
Yeah.
Riley, Santino,
DiBiase.
What's her name?
I'm not even sure.
One of the fucking dactyls. The one that got...
Cameron.
Thank you, Cameron. Who, yeah, you know, the DUI and the bribe and lying about her job and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go by Cameron's example, this guy's only just going to be suspended for 30 days.
At minimum. He might just be released because this isn't the first time he's been arrested.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling they're going to boot him out too.
Yeah,
they're gonna boot him. They're not gonna get rid of. Apparently, they're not gonna get rid of Connor. Obviously, because A, he wasn't involved, and B, if he's been in developmental this long, I think they can still find something for him. Or as you said, they could find somebody to
replace Mr. Cameron and just move on.
Yeah,
mainly because everyone else who's been in the Ascension is either released or is done. Done. Raquel Diaz being the big example.
Yeah. So, you know, it sucks, but, you know, things happen for a reason. I think Connor's going to land on his feet.
Mm-hmm. Can only hope.
So, I'm fresh out of news.
So am I.
Mm-hmm.
So, before we call it a night, Tom, do you have anything to promote?
I want to promote this one thing that will be glorious for everyone involved.
Uh-oh.
Sleep. It's a beautiful thing. Don't ever not get any. Don't become a Tom Delgado.
We'll get you tucked into your cardboard box here in a couple of minutes. Statboy, you got anything to promote?
Nope, not offhand, except for congratulations again to Super Oprah. I hope to see her at the next Pick'ems in a few weeks' time.
I will see to booking her for that. Because she did send her apologies that she couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. She was already scheduled for something tonight. But, you know, Super Oprah will be back on the show. I will make sure of that. Now, Muckabuck, are you back yet? And Carl's dead.
Oh, boy.
So I will take a moment and have Jim Williams promote.
Pony.
So, that out of the way. But I do have one thing I am going to promote. Here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as you guys remember, in episode 250, we had multiple guests, and everybody was very interested in coming back. So while it's not going to be an every week thing, but up and down the line, you're gonna probably see most of these guys come back again. And I am looking into a few other gentlemen to drop by and talk to us about wrestling, promote whatever they happen to be up to, and who knows. But yes, definitely Super Oprah's coming back. I'm sure I can twist David Lanning's arm into coming back. Candy Charles requested to come back, but he's asked me a couple of really strange questions. I really want to work on that. I need to work with him for a bit. Tom, if I had put Johnny Badwheels on this show, he would wake you up. But I'm not trying to keep you from your sleep.
No, it's all right, Nicky. Don't worry about it.
Hey, Muckamuck, are you back yet? Wow, he is long gone. So let's see. Do I have anything else? No, I think I'm done, and I know Tom's done.
Can't hear you. Oh, I'm asleep. Shoo. Shoo.
So, for the perpetually absent Hi Muckamuck Carl Chenier, for the perpetually tired Tom Delgado, for the sadly stressed out stat boy Josh Henniger, I am the slightly narcoleptic Nicky Heyman saying,
good night, and don't forget, John Cena and Daniel Bryan are wiener cousins.
Bastard.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.